Blog Talk Radio.
Well, tonight's that night that we just give God the praise and the glory, and we admire him and we love him and we adore him. One of the things that I will say tonight, what God has done for us, he brought us from a mighty, mighty long ways. But just the other day, I was homeless for 5 straight months because of poverty. But God had a way prepared for me. I remember what God was doing for me and what God was doing to me. But God brought me to a point to understand I am God, and beside me there is none other. Well, you know, one of the things that I take notice of in the life we now live, what God is doing to all of us, God is saying to all of us, I'm on my way back. Are you ready? I am on my way back. So the problem and thing I say to a lot of people, if you are not ready, get ready. You get ready because what God is coming back to take his bride. And if you're not ready for it, he's going to leave you. One of the things that I take notice of in God's word, and I want you to know one thing. The more we take God at his word, the more we can see God is doing. I'd like to just give you a scripture. God heals all my disease, Psalm 103, verse 3. They wrote to some that God does 2 important things. First, he forgives all our iniquities. Second, he heals all our diseases. God not only wants to, but he has supernatural powers to heal us from all sickness. And all sickness, what God is doing for us. Isn't that important? I praise God and I love him. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I have my first guest on in 2018. Olivia, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, praise the living God. Olivia and I have been friends. I don't know how to. We, God just used us. I was reading Psalm 103, verse 3. But David wrote to some, to our God forgives of all our sins. And this is why. Amen. But I know God has given you a program, and we're just excited to hear you say it. I know one thing.
Yes.
You got a young girl who's going to do a song for us. Is she ready?
Miss Carrie, she has a sore throat, and
okay.
She cannot sing. She's gargling right now and see if she could get it to tune.
Okay.
But she has a beautiful voice.
She does.
I would like to share my testimony about Carrie.
Go ahead.
Okay. Carrie, I would say about 16 years ago, I was called by a Hispanic radio station. And since we were doing our national campaign of Listen to the Cries of the Children,
mm-hmm.
they told me they had a mission for me.
Mm-hmm.
So my assistant, Jose, and our secretary, they gave us an address, and we go to where the address was. It's in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me to go see the situation and see what we could do. The little girl had been left by her mother when she was a year old. Now she is 2 years old. But that little girl, when we got to the apartment, we knocked and she could barely open the door. She opened it up. She says, come on in. She had her backpack and she says to me, will you be my mother?
Oh my God.
Will you be my mama?
I said,
yes, I will. And then she said to my assistant, I said, will you be my papi? And he says, I'll be your papi. My secretary, will you be my tia? Didn't know a word of English. And she said, yes. She says, well, let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's go. I said, little girl, we can't go without getting permission that we're taking you. He says, She says, my mission is accomplished here, and I don't need to be here no more. I need to go with you. I said, first I have to talk to the lady of the house. Could you go get her?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She was in the other back room, and she went and got her. She says, would you please give them permission that I have to go with you?
Mm-hmm.
The lady sat down, and she wrote a document stating that the little girl was going to be released in the care of Listen to the Cries of the Children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when God has called you to a mission, He will test to see if you are for real. He will finish you off so that He can do the work.
Yes, indeed.
Not us no more, but it's Him that lives. And it was so awesome the way the Lord has it already figured it out. He's already got it all written it up. He's got it written down, brother. He's got your mission already written down. Although it might look like it's end, like it's the end of our of everything, and we do have to come to an end of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I called the TV station, and I said, now what do you want me to do with this little girl? She wants to go with me. He says, you have our permission to go. The mother left her. The lady that's taking care of her said she don't want her no more. She's gonna be moving on, and that little girl has nowhere to go. So I said, oh my gosh. I said, okay, little girl, let's go. She says, could you please take my bed? I said, we have a bedroom and a bed for you.
Mm-hmm.
She says, but I have not slept in another bed. And I said, okay, where's your bed? And as we were coming out, her bed was a cardboard box.
Oh, my God. Have mercy,
that
Lord
was,
Jesus.
That was her bed. And she says, I must take my dogs. Can I please take my dogs? Two of them. I said, I have two dogs just for you.
Mm.
She says, but not like these. These are my friends, and they took good care of me. The dogs used to sleep with her.
Oh, my God.
They were the blanket to her. They kept her when she was 1 year old. The lady took her outside, and she slept with the dogs. And all the food she ate was raw. She didn't know how to eat cooked food. I said, oh, my Lord Jesus. Where I live, they don't allow children. But the Lord broke the law, and I brought her in to the house. And my husband looks at her at the entrance, and he says, who is this little girl? I said, well, God gave her to us. My kids are already grown up. They were already out of the house. We were just my husband and I. And he says, but what are we going to do with her? I said, what are you going to do with her? She's homeless. You want me to go take her out in the streets and put her out there? He says, no, she's homeless. I said, yes, Irvin.
Mm.
And they will put her, we don't know where they're going to put her. They could even sell her. And so he says, oh, my gosh, let's keep her. We kept her. This little girl has really taught us about listening to the cries of the children.
Mm.
There's children out there, not only little children. There is old people that are like children. There are women. There's all kinds of people. And every one of us have a child inside of us that's crying out, Abba, help. But we don't. It's hard for us to receive a message without a messenger. Even though at the very end, we don't need a preacher or a teacher, because the Holy Spirit is your teacher and your preacher.
Yeah.
He will teach you all things, just like you, brother. I know the Lord speaks to you, and He directs you. And sometimes when we're not going right, He will bring us back to the fold, but it's because of His love It's his love. Not everybody has been called as the remnants, and I'm not the outcast.
Uh-huh.
Every
uh-huh.
one of us have a mission. My son went out to drugs, alcohol. I said, Lord, what happened here? How it happened about the way he was raised? He was raised Jewish, looking for the Messiah, keeping kosher. My three kids were converted into Jews,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that Jesus was already the King of Jews. And besides, all my ancestors came from the Meranos, which are all from the tribe of Judah. And so I came to know Yeshua through the Old Testament and came forth. I went to nothing, believing in no one and nothing. And came up because the Lord had a plan for me, has a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has said, I'm going to gather the outcasts. That's my mighty army and warriors. And he's allowed them. Everyone has a prodigal son or daughter. And if you don't, you have a granddaughter or a grandson. But everyone has one. And as we have them, they go out to the streets, but the Lord is saying, this is where I want you. I want you to follow them and
mm-hmm.
make disciples of the outcasts. And so he gave me from the very beginning, this was 40 years ago, and whoever is commended, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, even the Father, by him. Let us make, we became the image of God. We are made and created. I don't care if you're a female or a man, we are created into this image. The Lord has no respecter of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he will use child like he did my girl. She's 18 years old today. I had to take her as a baby, rock her in a chair every night. And every night she just embraced me and loved me, and I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
What I really missed out with my own, the Lord had me to make it up with this one.
Because
I had to work. I was too busy. But even then, brother, when the Lord calls you, you have to give up your children, your wife, your home, and so on.
Yeah.
Have therefore, and Jesus said unto them, who wants to be the greatest of all? You want to be the greatest? Okay.
Okay.
You don't want to be the greatest? Okay, it's whatever you want. He's not going to force you to do it you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You have your choice. So he says, the greatest of all is serving all. You serve everyone, whether you like them or not. You're not serving the person. You're serving Jesus Christ. Because he, even that person that acts like a devil, is made in the image of God. And so, have therefore, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which followed me in the generations, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And boy, we have a lot of work to do, don't we?
Yes,
and everyone... and everyone that has forsaken the houses or the brethren or the sisters or the fathers or the mothers or the wife or the husband or the children or lands for my name's sakes shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and many that are last shall be first. A lot of times, brother, we get very impatient.
Mm-hmm.
And patience is a virtue. When Jesus used to walk, when Jesus walked the streets, virtue would come out of him. Patience brings you virtue. Where you accept things as they are, you don't, you're not the macho man and macho woman. That has to an end. Mm. When we become the macho man and the macho woman, the Lord can't use us because we want to tell him how we want it and when we want it. I said, Lord, could you please change my husband?
Mm.
And he says, you know what? The one that needs to change is you, not your husband. I said, what?
My God.
He says, you change and he will see me in you and he will love me, not you.
Uh-huh.
So don't worry about him not loving you. Let him love me through you. Let him love me through you and him through you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you both shall be one. And I know you're surprised to pay for that. Women out there. Yeah. Women out there, I'm telling you the truth. That we ourselves are holding our husbands in bondage and in prison because they have messed up and we still hold a grudge.
Mm-hmm.
We can't forgive them. And our kids are going to hell because we do not forgive. Because in the first place, you have not been forgiven yourself. The Lord cannot forgive unless you have forgiven. And many of us are sitting on the pews. That's what they call them, pews, sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking about the church, but talking about the people of that we think were righteous. And we're the most unrighteous people that God can't even handle. He says, I'd rather have the worst than the good. Because the good,
mm-hmm.
they try to save themselves.
There's mm-hmm.
nothing good in us. No matter how good we are, it's a plan that God has already made and created, that it's his love. It is his patience. And
yes.
you, a lot of you, if you're listening, you have been sitting at the table with Jesus Christ. You're no more a servant, but the Lord calls you his friend. I have a servant, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria, my husband, sits her at the table. And she says, he says, come, Maria, sit at the table. But I got to serve. He says, you are our friend. We can talk around you and tell you our things that we want to do, our plans. Only because she became our friend and we became her friend. We can talk mm-hmm. to her. We can. She's there to assist and not count what she has done for us. And we don't count what we have done for her. If we take a pencil, brother, the biggest mistake is do not let your right hand know what your left or your left know what it's doing.
That's it.
Once
that's
you
it.
See, that's the secret. Once you
mm-hmm.
see what you have done for somebody and they're ungrateful, around, it's a test to see where is your motive.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we think we are so good that we're worse than the sinners.
Oh, my goodness.
Worse than the sinners. Because the Lord came to save the sinners. He did not come to judge or condemn them. He came to save them. And the worse they are, the greater they're going to run for the Lord. Because
mm-hmm.
much is forgiven. Much. So we're sitting over here and praising the Lord in everything. I tell Irvin, if you're going to praise the Lord only when God is good, shame on you.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Shame on you if you're going to praise the Lord when everything is good and you're going to praise him.
mm-hmm.
But when something that doesn't go right, you're going to get mad because it didn't go the way you want it. I said, get away from here, macho man.
Oh, my God. Preach, sister, preach. Preach, sister.
And he goes, you know, you're right. And when you get mad, you don't get mad at a person. You get mad at God because it just didn't go the way you wanted it. Well, hello.
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 Hey,
hello.
It didn't go the way you wanted it because he already has it written the way he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And until you change.
Oh, yes.
Until you change, then
you
can change things.
Yes.
But get out of the way. You're a stumbling block. And God wants to take away all the old to give you all the new. And he's getting ready to bless his people. But you know what's so sad, brother?
Yes.
The sad thing is he's withholding the blessings that he wants to bless his people, but his people cannot take the blessings. Because it'll go to their heads.
Go on, sister. Tell it.
Oh, my gosh. We have to keep humble. And as you keep yourself humble, the Holy Spirit will lift you up when he needs you, not when you want. He'll put a word out for you to speak, and then you humble yourself down. You know, my dad used to plant the wheat and the tares, okay? And he goes, do you know the difference between the wheat and tares? I don't know. And I said, how do you know, Dad? Tell me. He says, the wheat will hang its head down. Will hang the head down, the real wheat. And the tares, oh my gosh, they look just like the wheat. They have their heads lifted up. Don't pull those out.
You are so kind. You are telling the truth. Speak it, sister.
He says, you go and tear those tears out. So whenever we have a meeting or something, oh my gosh, they look like they are. But the Lord sends them because he has vessels for honor and vessels for dishonor. But he needs both of us, the good and the bad. Because the bad is going to come and they're going to reflect of what we are.
Mother. Oh,
and if you go, I would never do that, oh my gosh, you end up doing it worse.
Oh my God.
I would never do that. Really? Oh, you already did it? Be careful with your mouth. Huh?
Yes.
Be careful what you speak with your mouth. Either speak the truth and the truth will set you free, or speak a lie and you'll live in the Father of lies. You serve him. My husband.
I hear you.
You know how I came to know Jesus, really? And the first thing the Lord said to me, there's a book out there, and I advise for anybody to look for it. We bought a house from a converted Jew, and her husband was Jewish. And she had just converted into Christianity, and she was telling me about Jesus. That, oh, my gosh. A Jew, don't mention that name, Jesus, because it will hurt their ears.
She was mentioning
the name of Jesus. I said, oh, my Lord. She says, you need to read this book. It's called Me, Obey Him. I said, what? Yeah, because I went and bought the house all by myself without my husband. He says, go buy the house, whatever you want. I don't have to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. Now, I should have been nice and said, well, I don't want to buy it without you. No, I went and bought it without you. And then the lady says, wait a minute. We've never done this before. The husband always comes. I said, well, the house is mine and the interest is his.
Mm-hmm.
So I did an entrance and it said IR, my husband's initials. And he did not see the house until it was already fixed and it was already done. I covered his eyes and had a birthday party at the house. and invited all his Jewish friends. I said, honey, happy birthday. The interest is yours, you see, but not the house. This is the home. And you're not going to tell me how to run it.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen, sister. And I said, no, you're not going to do that to me, okay? He says, I won't have a chance because I'm always working. I said, okay, great. So anyway, to make something very quiet, glad my husband's not here to hear this, but my husband, the Lord said to me, read that book. I had just received the Lord, and the Lord had just risen me from the dead. Dead, gone, died. Go home and die, or go to the hospital and die. And I chose to go home and die, and I did. My spirit left me. It was in heavenly places. I did not want to come back to this world. But he says, I have a mission. I have a mission for you. I couldn't have children. I had cancer. I used to smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day. Can you imagine me smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day?
No!
And that is the worst. It's worse than drugs, sister.
I lived to smoking. God really beautifully saved you. Praise God.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I had black smoke coming out of my ears. I had it from my nose. I had cancer from the top to the very bottom of my feet. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't lay down.
Wow.
4 packs. I lived to smoke. And no one can take that smoking away from you. It is an addiction, the most terrible addiction. And the reason why I got into that addiction, and I didn't need to, that was enough. My husband went to Vietnam. My first husband went to Vietnam, and I was scared of him being killed and run over by whatever. But I got very nervous, and I started to smoke. And that would calm my nerves. But my goodness, sister, I could, oh, my gosh. But cancer, I think I already had it when I married my husband. And I weighed 90 pounds, so I'm double maybe 3 times. My husband says, you couldn't afford to eat. I said, you're right. And then I went to a little church, and they said, anybody needs a miracle? My husband says, you don't go to the front of the altar. I didn't know anything about the front of the altar. I was raised Catholic. All of a sudden, 2 angels took me to the front of the altar. By the time I knew it, I had already been dunked, baptized in the name of Jesus. And then I opened my eyes, and I seen all these prayer warriors praying for me, and I seen, like, candles on top of their heads. And I tell the preacher, why do all these candles on top of their heads? He says, that's the fire of the Holy Ghost, sister. I said, fire? What is that fire you're talking about? He says, you don't understand now, but later you'll know. But I had to submit my will totally unto my husband, whether I liked it or not. Whether you liked it or not, the Lord says you will humble yourself. You will learn to be obedient. And your husband is the head right now. He is the head, and you cut your head off. That's where I got it, brother, cut your head off. I said, okay. And he'd say this, okay. And he'd say that, okay. Everything was okay. And then I went to my father-in-law. He found out that now I'm a Christian and believer. And I knocked at the door so excited, he got hot water, threw it at me in a broom and hit me. I go, now, Lord, what was that all about? He says, go in the car and intercede for your father-in-law. I said, what? And then he says, you see these signs that say Yeshua loves you? Read it in English. The Venetian blinds, he put them up, and I had signs all around the house. And he would get more furious and more mad. But I never told my husband, your dad hit me with a broom and threw hot water. The Lord says, just shut up and take it and die flesh. I said, okay. Then my husband's son, who was 16 that lived with us, all my tires would be flat. And I would go in my room and pray because I was afraid to come out because I didn't know if he was going to hit me or kill me or whatever. So I go and pray. Man, when you have the name of Jesus, look out. Everything changes. It's like, what?
Everything.
It looked like I was doing, everything is upside down. I go, what happened? I was doing great when I was walking, and I didn't have anything to eat. My house burnt, and I lived in one room for 2 years. I was doing great. What happened now? I got everything.
That's true.
You have everything. And you know, what am I so, now I'm not, what is going on? I was better off not knowing Jesus. And now that I know you, Lord, look what's happening. He says, what do you think they did to me? What do you think they did to me? I said, oh my gosh. He said, even Peter wanted to save me. And what did I call him? Satan, get you behind me. Don't try to save me. He says, you don't need anybody to defend you. You know, a lot of times, my husband's mother did defend me. My father-in-law hit me. My husband this. And what happened? You didn't even defend me. I'm your defender. I'm your lawyer. I'm your father. I'm your husband. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. Did you not leave everything behind for me? Yes, Lord. Shut up then. When I tell you to speak, the Holy Spirit will speak through your mouth. But the flesh will not rise up and speak or defend itself.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm talking too much. Yeah?
I know that Olivia, and Olivia will be back on tomorrow, but I'm going to put on mute.
Let's go, all of you.
Are you there? Are you there?
We're here, but we're getting a watery sound. We're here.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Well, y'all go ahead and talk.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Good evening.
Lord,
praise the Lord.
Forgive. Listen to the cries of the children. There's a national campaign turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children. It is time for reconciliation in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. Bye.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody got. It's not his phone. Somebody got a phone that's dragging. Go ahead, teacher.
Who's praise the Lord, everybody. Who's teaching tonight?
You and Esther.
Oh, Esther, age before beauty. God bless you. You can go first, Esther. am I supposed to be on now? I didn't know what kind of program it was tonight. I didn't know the teaching.
No, you are the host.
Oh, Well,
this is your program. Well, go for it.
We came in on Mother on Minister Olivia, and she was just a joy through the phone. And so everybody that's not going to say anything, or when you get ready to say something, unmute your phone. But right now, if everybody will mute their phone, because these phones pick up and Russia is also messing with our line. So there we go. See how muting did? That stopped all of that background. And I hope, and I won't move around so you won't get nothing from me. But let us go in prayer and give God all his wonderful praise and glory that he is due. Mighty Father, we enter into your gates with praise and thanksgiving. Joy and gladness, we enter your courts, thanking and praising you for every moment that you've given us. Yes, Lord, this is the day you have made, and we are rejoicing, are glad in it. It is you who have made us and not we ourselves. We got the saints that have been bought with the precious blood on the line. We ask you, Father God, to open our hearts, our minds, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you. We bind any force of evil from any direction, any way, from anything in the name of Jesus. And we loose the fullness of the Holy Ghost to flow from here to all over the nation and all over from everyone that will hear the sound of it. Let it be edifying to their soul in the mighty name. And we bind, we repent, we loose, and we glorify and magnify you, God, because we know there is nothing too hard for you. You're not limited. Your word has already been written, and it has been spoken. And we declare and decree all of your righteousness to go forth this night in Jesus' name. Amen. I come to you all with praise. Praise, praise, our praise report, glorifying and magnifying God. Mind you, less than 3 hours ago, I wanted to cry with all my heart. But I refuse to give in to that lying devil, because I know God got some great blessings for us and for me. And I preach all the time, no matter how bad it is, praise God anyway, and I will stand by that. So don't, cause I preach it and I teach it, that it ain't going, that I'm not gonna be tried on it. I am tried on the things I proclaim. You will be tried on proclaiming. I have praised God with tears running down my eyes. I have praised God with pain wrecking my body. I have praised God being a battered and abused wife. I have praised God when I've been lied on and talked about and humiliated and all those things. They did it to my Father God, Creator, Lord, and Savior Jesus Christ. So who am I and who are you but servant of the Most High God? And we just thank him that he finds us worthy to suffer for his name's sake. And I want y'all to remember that. As you know, I love Ephesians. But even when you hop over to Revelation, and I have my other, remember the Bible, the book I also teach y'all out of, the prayer, the red prayer book. It has the answers to almost everything you can think of in it. But I'm right this minute, I'm going to do Ephesians. I love Ephesians because Ephesians, and I love Colossians, and I love Galatians. I love the whole word. I love Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And I love Ruth and Joshua and Judges. Oh, praise God. I love the word of God because it is life. It is really life. So if you have any questions,
or wanna we anybody have anything they would like to discuss, to unmute your phone and say, Sister Ruth, can I ask or can I say or can I proclaim? It doesn't matter to me. I'm open to you because this is a first time we've been back on the radio since. This is March 2018. We haven't been on since, was it October or November? Or we was in on a little part. Was we on some part of December? Well, Dr. Hunter will remind when
no,
he's
ma'am.
Back on. He
yeah.
will.
Well, we know it.
So it's been a while. It's been a while.
We was at five full months because everything Harvey went CZY, but God got C with CZY Earth. Amen.
5 months since we've been on, boy. That does. But I tell you, we did have a good time with Sister Olivia on Saturday night. I wish everybody could have been there and felt the move of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, there ain't nothing. David said it best. I can't match David. Oh, how good it is to dwell with the saints, to be in the midst of the saints, you know. It is so good. I mean, I want you all to pray for this world, because all these people that we seem to envy and admire, who've been given great wealth and great jobs, making ugu gobs of money. Believe me, there's been a trade-off. So, some of them have sold their soul for those things. And God did not lie. He said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I'm here to tell you, to have more money that I could do more things and bless more people, but maybe that isn't the will of God for me to be wanting to do all those things. And orphans, you guys, always remember to pray for orphans. We could, I'm an orphan now, but I could have been a child orphan. There have been children orphans. I mean, there is children orphans. But most of them, some of them turn, you know, God has his hand on them. So pray for the orphans. Pray for the people that are sold in slavery. Not only are young children sold in slavery, but also there are grown people, grown men and women being sold in slavery and sold into prostitution. All kind of horribleness is out there. But thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph. Thank him. So, but don't forget to pray for those that are sick in the hospital, who are paralyzed or who have been stricken with strokes. And we're overcomers to pray for the ones, for the things we've overcome. You know, I've had many strokes. I've been paralyzed. I've had all of that. I've had cancer. I don't want to forget from where I came. I'm grateful to God with every ounce of my being. I thank the Lord. And so those things that we have suffered, you know, it works the same way with the same scripture. It says, him that has been forgiven much, him that have overcome much, should remember much and remember and look. Don't condemn the people that are still trapped out there in sin because their eyes haven't been opened. You know, we got the homosexuals, the liars. Don't think that a homosexual is any more abominable than a liar. A liar is an abominable person, people. Don't get it all screwed up. Don't think just because a woman's out there selling her body and prostituting that she's worse than the hypocrite. That do you know that the Bible say a hypocrite is an abomination? That's a person who thinks they're something when they're nothing. We tend to get there, you know, just because we've been I'm on the radio. I'll call you right back. When I get off. Oh, okay. Thank you. We tend to forget. You know, we was once in darkness. Ain't nobody been born saved. Don't let nobody tell you that. I don't care. Don't let no. I'm so tired of people talking about. I always been in the church. What church? The Bible say we are the church. Two or three is the church, not a building. I've been always in a building. Don't get it mixed up. I've heard people say I've been saved all my life. Ain't nobody but God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist. John the Baptist was saved all his life, but ain't none of the rest of us been saved all of our life. We were all born in sin and needed a Savior. Otherwise, God would have wasted his time if you were saved all your life and you didn't have to give your heart or surrender and get the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost and pass from death unto life. Oh, but I do want to share with you, I told you we were going to Ephesians. We will go to Ephesians in 1 minute, but before we go to Ephesians, I want to read to you Luke chapter 1 talking about John the Baptist. These 5 months we've been gone, I've meditated quite a bit about John the Baptist. God himself has given me glimpses of John the Baptist's life. And I've been preaching since 1972, and I was a young woman then, and I used to I was so in love with God, and I was just like I just got through telling y'all, I was just like the hypocrites almost. I used to condemn people who couldn't give up the world and who was caught up in the world. Well, let me tell you something, to many, many women and men, well, I have my needs. This is one of the things they'll say to you, trying to justify living in adultery or committing fornication or any of those sins or drinking or whatever is sent to them. I have needs, you know. That's the world's terminology. I have needs. Well, I want you to hear this. This year, Luke chapter 1, is if you ever sit down, pray before you read it, and sit down and ask God to open up your eyes to this here man, Luke, John the Baptist. Oh, my God. It just, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in the order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, this is St. Luke chapter 1, verse 2 now. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding. You hear this now? This is the word. This ain't me in my opinion. Perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse 6. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Remember this, y'all. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. They were old too, just similar to Abraham and Sarah. Listen to this. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, before God in the order of his court. Verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, and I want y'all to see that word, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. 9, Luke chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without. At the time of incense. Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Y'all hear that? This was because an angel appeared before him. The angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah. For thy prayer is heard." Now, I want y'all to remember this verse 13, Luke 1:13, because over in Matthew, there's another scripture say, "For we know that God hears not sinners' prayer." But because Zacharias and his wife were righteous, same way with Cornelius. Cornelius was a Jew, was a Gentile. And his prayers had come up for alms. So I want you to listen to these things. And always study the word and get an understanding. Zacharias, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John." Verse 14. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth." Now, this is very important, you guys, to remember this. This was a prophecy from the angel to John the Baptist's mother and father. They shall have joy. Hey, listen at this, verse 15. "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb," y'all. Do you hear me? This is a very important verse, because there is nobody in life and history else had this privilege. Luke 1, 1:14? Yeah. 1:15, Luke 1:15, and I want you to study it, run reference on it, search the scripture. This was very important. Verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Verse 17, "And he shall go before him spirit and power of Elijah." Do you hear? John the Baptist is going to be in the spirit of Elijah. "To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." And this is what Sister Olivia quoted to y'all a while ago. "And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel, verse 19, Luke 1:19. "And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." Verse 20, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited before Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. My time is almost up, my 30 minutes. We will go on from here next week, next time, from Luke 1:23. I'll start at Luke 1:23 because I want to run reference and combine to show y'all the life of John the Baptist. Now, you heard verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. The mother and father had joy and gladness. I don't find a scripture that say John ever had any gladness. His life is nothing but eating locusts in the wilderness, wearing nothing, not even wearing fine linen or dressed or not. His whole life was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And being on top of all of that, he never had a woman. He never had fell in love. He never had all of those things that we say, I have my needs for. I want to show you how our life is nothing but a vapor. And there's a scripture say, redeeming the time for the days are evil. And I have to remind myself of that because life is just a vapor. But you know, I've lived this is over in Ecclesiastes, in pleasure. You know, I've had good times, I've had bad times. But you know, I haven't lived like John the Baptist. And on top of all of this lifestyle, he had to live, eating locusts in the wilderness, then to have his head cut off to have his head cut off. But, oh, my God, but to be born with the Holy Ghost already in you, oh, my God, I tell you, I could go on and on and on. But my time is up. It's according to my clock. I got, 2 minutes? 2 minutes.
Let's open the line so people can have a word or two.
Yes.
The line is open. Anybody got a question or a statement or something God has done for them? Amen. Will you help by what you heard tonight? Amen.
Amen. Well, Dr. Hunter, good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
I've unmuted my phone.
Yes. Good. Good.
It's okay for me to speak?
Yes.
To your word, and I would like to complement your word by adding a few things, if you don't mind. A lot of people, do not believe that we are predestined. An example of Zechariah meeting the angel in the temple when it was time for him to watch, and he did not believe or he laughed. Well, when we have a purpose, and you talked about John the Baptist not having royal linen and the food that he ate and the clothes that he wore, when he received the Holy Spirit, when he was in his mother's womb, then we know then from beginning that we can have the Holy Spirit within us. It's there all the time because we are made and created in God's image. It's just a matter of us as a conscious mind accepting the spirit that God has for us anyway. You know, it's ours. It's available to us if we ask. And if we ask, we are imparted with the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying is that the purpose that John had is similar to the purpose that Jesus had. They sort of run hand in hand. John's purpose was to be. I know that most people teach on being the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the one that came before Christ. But his purpose of being born was to be sacrificed just as Jesus Christ was to be sacrificed. And so when you understand your purpose, and sometimes we get way up in our age before we really understand the purpose that God intended for us. You know, we go left and we go right and zigzag and everything else before, you know, God finally gets our attention and say, do you understand that this is what I called you to do? This is what I birthed you to do? And so I'm glad that John had no reservation. The part that we don't look at is that his mother, she couldn't be saved because Jesus Christ had not been born yet.
Amen.
But she
That's right.
did know the word, and she did know that the promise was coming. You know, she didn't know when or whatever, but she believed. And so I believe, you know, that it's theologically indicated that she raised this child with the humble beginning. So, because he didn't just go from youth to adult. You know, so you got to understand what was going on in that time span between he was born until he became the man that was in Jordan River baptized and telling people to come away from their sins. So it was imparted unto him at an early age and instilled in him while he was growing up, you know, so that he didn't rebel against what he was supposed to do. A lot of us do. You know,
amen.
Like Jonah, but we're not going nowhere. We, as the in the military, we march in time, staying in the same place because if God is told to do something, you're gonna do what God told you to do. Now, honestly, it seems like it has the appearance of that. Well, I had to surrender. You know, no, you know, this was your purpose, and when God intends for you to do what he have you to do, you would do it at that time, on that day, at that hour, because there's no mistake in what he wants you to do and when he wants you to do it, how he wants it to be done. So like I say, John was raised with his purpose. And when he got of age that he could consciously make a decision for himself, it was instilled in him, so he really didn't have a choice. This is all he knew.
Absolutely.
So he was crying in the wilderness, you know, because Jesus Christ was coming, you know. And so, yes, he gave his life, but it's amazing that at the end he became doubtful and he sent the word.
Yes.
You know, are you the
yes.
one? You know, are you the one? You know, I did everything that I've been taught to do since I was a child. But now that I'm in prison, I really didn't understand this part. It's like Abraham and Isaac going to the hill with the stuff for the sacrifice, and he'll see the lamb that's going to be sacrificed. And so John didn't understand that part of it because, you know, God don't reveal everything to us at one time. Had he told John that you're going to lay down your life like Jesus Christ, you know, John might have just ran because he didn't have what Jesus Christ had. He was not the tripod of God himself. So, but he sent for confirmation, you know. And when he got confirmation, everything was all right. He was willing to go through whatever it is that he had to go through, that he did what he was supposed to do. Jesus did what he was supposed to do, that you and I might have a right today to to that life, to that eternal life. You know, it Paul teaches it real well, say that, you know, I'd rather be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be there. But it's more expedient that I stay here with you. Because if I don't help you, you're not going to get it, and you're not going to have eternal life. I want you to know that the man that I persecuted, that I wanted to kill, he is the Son of God. And everything that was written in the scribes that I have read and I denounced, you know, sometimes you can get too much education. You know, Paul was very, very smart. And, you know, he didn't want to accept that. But when you have an encounter, and I said that to one of my friends today, when you have an encounter with the Lord, you are never the same. I heard
never.
You say that you'd been
never.
Ill and that, if I'm not mistaken, I heard you say you had cancer and what have you. You've had your tribulations. You had your trials, and you came through the fire as pure as gold, because now can't nobody make you believe that Jesus Christ is not real.
Amen.
Nobody can make
Amen.
You believe that now.
Amen.
Because he
Amen.
Is taking a place Amen. In him that removes all doubt. And
yes,
people
ma'am.
Today still they see all the natures and the mysteries of God going on right around them, and they still denounce that there is a God.
They sure
what?
Do. They sure
they, it's just it's sad, but it's what the Bible says. And so Peter said, don't think it's strange when you run into this ridiculous stuff. You know, don't think it's strange. Because the word says that the enemy goes around to kill, steal, and destroy. You know? And I used to wonder, well, what they mean kill, what they mean destroy, you know. And steal, well, he's here to steal your salvation. You know, that's what he wants. He wants you to turn away from God. He wants to
yeah.
kill that understanding, that conscious mind that you have that says there is God. And he sent his son, and his son sent the Holy Spirit. He wants to
mm-hmm.
destroy everything. He wants to destroy your temple.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the fornication and stuff, because your body is the temple of God. You are not
mm-hmm.
supposed to let anything go. Zechariah, he can only go into the temple when it was his time. When it was his
mm-hmm.
allotted time, he could go in. So we can't let anything and everything in our body, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so sometimes it takes a while for us to learn that, but when we get it, we got it, you know. But sometimes
Amen.
When you don't go through nothing, you don't understand that God is who he is, Jesus is who he is, and the Holy Spirit is who he is. You know, we don't understand if you never go through nothing. And so for those people, I don't know if I heard it on the line, but, you know, they were not born saved. Even though
no.
from Genesis to the New Testament
Amen.
Have got the
Amen.
Opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God is not an unjust God. He wouldn't let Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, Noah, and you know, all the rest of them live and just die. That's not a God that we serve. We serve a loving God, a God that makes no mistakes. So the Old Testament people who knew that the promise was coming are going to have an opportunity to accept the promise. A lot of people don't understand that, and some don't believe it, but Jesus is coming again, and Jesus is going to reign not just in heaven again when he sits on his throne and judge all of us and see if our name is in that book of life, but the people that died without knowing him are going to have an opportunity to accept him. That's why, and that's when the beast is going to have his 1,000-year reign, because he's going to be running rapid trying to get everybody he can, because he already knows he's going to the lake of fire. You know, how many of us want company with us when we know we're going down? You know, when we know we're going somewhere, ain't got no business, we want to drag somebody with us. We want to, so we want them to be in trouble just like we in trouble, you know. And so God is telling us today in these times, and even with Trump in office, you better get sincere with your relationship with me. Because in the Old Testament times, he always allowed nations to rise up against his people, for disobedience, for turning to God. So today, if I have anything to say, say rise up, believer. I'm not even going to call it, you know, whatever, but just rise up. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you have accepted him, you know, I come out of Church of God in Christ, they got to make sure you're foaming at the mouth and you're running around crazy and all kind of stuff. But I heard you say that's the study. And when you go to Romans, it simply says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, thou shalt be saved. Don't tell me. Do I believe in speaking in tongues? Yes.
Yes.
Do I believe in prophecy? Yes. Do I believe
yes.
in fivefold ministry? Yes.
Yes.
You know, all of that. But I do know that everybody, if you go speaking in tongues, you know how it happened in church a lot of times. You know, everybody go to speaking in tongues, running around, foaming at the mouth. Okay. What did you do? What did you say? What did God say to you to reveal to his people?
That's right.
You quit doing this because you were taught in comparison to John. You were taught. John was taught what he was supposed to do when he became a man. And when he became a man, there was no doubt that he did what he knew that he was called to do. The Spirit was in him that he knew what to do. So it's simple to be saved. It's difficult to walk because we live in a world. It's two worlds. We live in a world, and we have the spiritual world within us, and they war against each other. So I'm fighting myself all the time to live the life, to watch my mouth, guard my mouth, you know, and guard my heart. You know, I was talking to somebody about the spirit of the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't know nothing about Jesus Christ, but she heard about his miracles. She didn't know didn't want to learn about him, but she heard about it. And she had a problem that she could not fix and that could not be fixed. You have to tell yourself, you know, you have to think. You know, she said, well, I done tried everything else. Why not try this to Jesus, you know? And so I don't know who he is. I don't know, but I've heard the miracles that he's done, how blinded eyes were open, lame people were made to walk. Well, I got this problem here. I'm about to bleed to death. So I heard about it. And I say that to say that we as believers have got to get out there and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have got to. And like I say, she heard about it, and she said, if I could just touch him, you know, I could just touch the hem of his garment. I ain't got to touch him. If he's all of this and that I heard, let me just touch his garment. let me just touch that. And I know I'll be healed. And we got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is who he say he is, that we have eternal life in him, and that John the Baptist is a good role model, you know, that was not Jesus Christ, you know, that was raised. We got to raise our children. We got to take our children back. You know, we got to take them back.
So you're saying all that, you remember, you forgot the power, that the power, that's what God sent the Holy Ghost for. And the Holy Spirit
right.
is only that. See, that attitude of us got to do. The Holy Ghost, you mentioned it in the first thing, the Ephesians chapter 1, that everything has been predestinated. Now, I grant you, we do have to do. Our light shall shine, and it shall draw. But no man, no matter what you do, ain't coming to God except the Father draw him. If we live the life, the love, the life of love, it will draw. It will draw. So the Bible say this is the work that you believe. Believe that God is able to save your whole household. Believe that God is able to save our neighbors. You know, I myself have been convinced that we have allowed the devil to just roll around in our playpen with us. We've given him, we have authority. So it ain't like it's some, but God has an appointed time for people to be saved. You know, he didn't save me in my mama's womb, but I was chosen before the foundation of the world. But he still had a time for me to get born again, get filled with the Holy Ghost, get regenerated and pass from death. You know, God has a set time. But we must proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life. This is, and that Christ died and he was buried. And mentioning buried, you was mentioning the Old Testament people who died. You forgot about Peter. Peter said Christ went down to hell and preached to the disembodied spirit. And we don't know how many people heard him preach in hell and received him and went on and were saved out of hell. So all the people that had died up until Christ had the opportunity that we also have too, to hear Christ when he was down there in hell those 3 days preaching. This is Peter's word, not mine. And so therefore, God is merciful and he's long suffering and he is just. So Judas could have got saved when Christ went to hell. The other one that was on the cross could have got saved. It was millions of people in hell when Christ went those 3 days. He really went to hell, the Bible says, and he preached to the disembodied spirit. So, you know, God has taken care of his business to remind us. We don't have to worry about God leaving one jip or one tilt or one jottle uncovered, because he got it all covered. But thank God he saved us and our children's children, because we're claiming it, we're declaring it, and we're standing on the fact that God is doing it. Just like I said earlier, Cornelius was a Gentile praying for years, and it was accounted for him, even though he was a Gentile. You know, and as I read over here, Elizabeth and her husband,
They were Jews, but they wasn't saved. Because nobody, like you said, Drew, nobody was saved until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you know. But that's what the gospel is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So many Christians don't even know that. Galatians chapter 1, 2, and 3 teaches you, and teaches plainly that if any man don't obey that they are cursed. You know, the word of God is true. It ain't going to lie for me or nobody else. And I love the fact that we are just seeking him and hungering for him and thirsting after him and going out and proclaiming him at every move we can get, every time we can turn, you know, in the nursing homes, in the prisons, in the jails, in the orphanages. How many of us are going to orphans? I've been in prison ministry. I've been in nursing home ministry. I've been in jail ministry. I haven't been to many orphanages, but I do pray for them constantly. So anybody that God has put that on their heart, go. Because be a mentor to big brothers and big sisters. There's so many good things we can do.
May I interrupt?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Does anybody else have something they want to say? Anybody else? I know this been one. I thank God, my God has been good. But I want to have us to know, because what God has done for us tonight, he's opened up understanding to people with two teachers. But there's somebody on the line with us right now. I know you got
something. Yes, sir. I think I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to comment on the scripture that was read. It was wonderful. It was well explained. And the main thing I get out of that scripture is two things. Righteous people. See, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were righteous. Okay. The other one, Mary. Mary was righteous. So God chose these people to do two miracles. Okay, the miracle for Mary was supernatural. Okay, with Zechariah and Elizabeth, it's for natural, but both were miracles. So Elizabeth womb, and then there was Jesus in Mary's womb. So they had like spirits. They were cousins. You know, we have like spirits and cousins in the Lord, and so even though John was before Jesus, Jesus was there all along. So when John came, when Elizabeth came when Mary came to be with Elizabeth, the baby leaped. So the Holy Ghost was present. And the anointing was already there. And someone emphasized it earlier, and I agree with that. It was the predestination of both. Good, it sounds good about John, and he didn't. He came eating honey, and he didn't do it. But that was his purpose. That's what he was placed on earth for. That was his purpose. So he probably didn't even desire anything else but to fulfill his purpose. So that's all I wanted to comment on the scripture was.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Well, you know, I tell you, hearing what I heard tonight just blessed me. Oh, my God. It blessed me. I will say this. The more we come together, the more we can help each other. There are a lot of people out there, like I told a lady when I saw the text, is this your son? The young man has a strong voice. I can see God moving in him. When we out there with our Jewish friends last night, we saw the Holy Ghost move, and a man, my God, here I am right now, believing God, that God is doing what he says he's going to do. As I was reading, I read about John this morning. I was reading about John, and I said, well, John, this man, but the conclusion of it is, when they come back, and John said, he sent word, go back and ask him, is he the one? That's a good message. Is he the one? Jesus replied, and I said like this here. He said, no, I've got to say it. I can't tell you, my brother, what I want to say, but your time is up. I want you to just be comfortable in what's going to happen to you. So he knew, and he kept calling on the name and telling that man, say, you hypocrite, you're going to die. And they decided to take his head off. See, taking the head off to John the Baptist? Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at some of those other followers of Jesus. They were beheaded. Why they did that? Because that was a tradition of that day. Why we are today in America? Right in America. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody may be mad at me. We got a man in the White House. Don't know which way he's going. If he ain't sin, Mona, if there's the fourth, it's the sixth day I want to talk about. The sixth day I want to talk about the 20th day. He keeps spinning things around. And I'll say to people, what's wrong with America? Every one of us needs to come down to our knees and call on God like never before. Let me tell you, when Harvard came into my house, that water came in there, I'm sitting on the bed, can't move because of the test of water. I would have been electrocuted, but God kept me. And I'm saying to all of us, that's much work for us to do. And I want you to know, this video saying has blessed you and blessed me. And see what God has done is kept us. And so I would say tomorrow night, you're going to have Olivia come on at 7 to 7:30. You're going to have Prince of Love come on at 7:30. And the same people can invite some more people. It's on Facebook, on Twitter. Because I'm telling you, I'm not afraid. I done told the devil, you done lost this game. When I see what God's doing for us, none like him. But I wanted to know, tonight we're going to close our Father, bless us and keep us individually and time by time. Show us your way. Perfect your way more in us. Let us know, Father, that it's you that's on the way back. And your darling son, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you, Father, for the sisters that are on the line. Father, I'm praying for the men to come and get ready. Because, Father, the work is not only mine, it belongs to all of us. But we're going to go doing what you said do. We're going to see your blind eyes open, the deaf ears unstopped. We're going to see limbs in Jesus. God bless you and I love you. See you tomorrow night.
God bless. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.